Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes attired.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
If you're just joining us or you missed the show, all 4 hours of the Men's Room are available on radio.com. And joining us now, great radio stations like 1210 The Man in Miami, Florida. Also, our friends at Rock 95 in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Our question, what is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
And here's a comment. It says, Ola, gentlemen, at my old job, my coworker's wife was going into labor and had to leave. But his car was blocked in by my other coworker. But that coworker would not move the car. So he grabbed the forklift and put his car onto the dumpster. The next day, the guy that did not move his car, he was written up for not moving his car. Fun times. Who wouldn't move the car? Hey, man, my wife's going into labor. Yeah, I'm not moving my car for you. What kind of jackass is that?
Yeah, man. That's just being a D.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Heather. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola. Hola. So my story is I worked at a smaller chain of pet food stores. They didn't actually sell animals, but it was like higher end stuff in Mukilteo. And my manager at the time was actually out on a forced vacation leave because she, this was 17 years ago, and to this day my husband still refers to her as the Beast. She was one of the most unfortunate looking people I've ever met. And she did not care about hygiene. Her boob sat on her lower abdomen. It was really a bad service vibe.
All right. Is that why they sent her on vacation? Like, hey, go clean yourself up for a while and come back when you figure it out.
I mean, like, in the most please don't sue me way possible that my regional manager could say that to her, that is basically what they did. Yeah.
Okay. Damn, just for being ugly.
So how long did she get that break to go and shave and everything?
2 weeks.
Okay. All right.
2 weeks to shave.
Okay.
2 weeks.
And so,
you got time.
All right.
You can get it done.
So when she came back?
By the way.
All right.
She didn't get it done. But anyway, so we would get packages all the time to the manager of each individual store from rats, dog toys, samples, et cetera. So a package came and me and my coworker were at the counter and there was customers in the store and she gets a box cutter. She slices it open and it's care of so-and-so who is not there.
The Beast. Yeah.
Yes. We open it up and in like bubble wrap, we see like purple latex. And so we're thinking dog toys. And it was a massive adult toy. Bright purple and textured. And people were staring at us and we didn't know what to do. So she shoves it back in the box. She shoves it under the counter. Two people walked out. It was kind of an upscale neighborhood. They weren't impressed. I don't know if they thought we were being funny or what the situation was, but there was a catalog in there for her. She'd ordered from them before. I forgot to mention she lived at home with her parents.
So you sent us a text earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, all right,
she was a 30-something-year-old woman, and she lived at home with her parents, and so that's, I'm assuming, why she had it sent to work, and obviously she couldn't foresee the vacation, so, as it was forced.
What do they call that, a pizzle stick?
Yeah. They call it something. It looked like something out of Star Wars, but
did you flip through the catalog at all? I mean, at that point.
Oh,
hey,
totally.
Look.
Totally. Totally.
All right.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you order anything?
Anything in there that, yeah, up your alley?
There was nothing original or unique about it. It was just a standard mail order service.
Okay. So when the Beast returns to work, do you inform her that there's a package waiting for her, or how does that work?
Well, given the situation at the time, I mean, they kept telling us to, looking back on this, I'm sure this wasn't legal, but like to document things that were less than, you know, company friendly that were going on with her. She had a lot of like social issues. I don't know how she kept the job as long as she did and management nonetheless, but we turned it over to the regional manager who had spoken to her.
Oh,
and
thanks.
You know, you need to deal with this because I don't.
Is it? But here's the thing.
I knew she was going to crash and burn, and I didn't want to be caught in a fire.
Is it wrong to have your sex toy sent to work? Because in theory, right? So I can have sex to a Fleshlight, you know, delivered here. It's sure. No big deal, but if someone else opens it and it's at a client meeting for someone they're trying
right.
to get, like, I know it looks bad in that moment, but technically, it's, you don't really do anything wrong. I mean,
no. No, it was just one of the strangest things that's ever happened to me in any job
sure.
I've ever had.
I can see that, yes.
Coming to think of it,
really, you need the visual to go with
it. How big is this
thing? Give that to you.
How big is this thing?
Oh, extra large.
Was it even realistic?
No, well.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there. But
his name's Dikembe, right, and he lives in Uganda. Yeah, I mean, but I mean,
is it, you know what I mean? Like, I just, was this so.
It wasn't a gay gift. I don't believe it was a gay gift. It was realistic enough. It wasn't like, you know, 3 feet long and, you know, the size of a fire hose or anything like that.
I'm guessing, what, probably about a foot long or something like that?
Some of those giant ones aren't always a gag gift.
Well, depends how you look at it. Yeah. Depends where you use it, Ted.
True. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess. Each their own.
I mean, I think sex toys could be unrealistic. I mean, the women I watch in porn are pretty unrealistic.
They absolutely are.
But then again, you wouldn't buy a Fleshlight that was as wide around as a paint can. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things.
Right. I mean,
you don't know that. I mean, this you don't know what I'm into.
You know what I mean? But you don't necessarily want something entirely realistic because realistic already exists, right? So if it's vibrant,
depends on who you are.
My penis does not vibrate on its own, like, right? So already, no matter what, it does not spin on its own. It does not vibrate. Thanks to Valtrex, it's not covered in lumps. You know what I mean? Like, you just ought to throw it out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, it's not. And to be fair, you might want the feel to be realistic, but the appearance, generally speaking, like, if you remove this thing that we love so much and just put it on the table, it's not that attractive.
No, it's not.
Now it's like a weird sea urchin or something, you know? It's like, it's based on what it is and where it's located.
It's like a gooey duck.
Right, exactly. So I don't want something that just looks like that delivered to my house. Like, it's not so awesome on its own.
Some of those things, I think, too, could be helpful.
You mean what? If you're actually having sex?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, as for but what I mean is you can't compete with that thing.
No.
But
you're only worried about the side. Like I said, there's things that vibrate, there's things that rotate. Like, you certainly cannot compete with that unless you're, like, you know, the Terminator. I mean, my God, like, if it could do that, I would let everyone know that it could do that, but it can't do that.
Yeah, it's like trying to pick up leaves with a small kitchen garbage bag. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see how you can fit all those leaves in there. You know what I mean? Anyway, what is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
Wow, you're awfully stretchy. Hello, Jody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Here's Jody.
Yo. How you doing?
We're doing good, Joey.
We're doing all right.
Yeah, man. What's your epic story about work?
My story is a little more of a visual than an actual story. I'm a carpenter. You know, I worked in an old soldier's home for a while, about 10 years. And over the 10 years there, I've seen a few things. But one day, I'm in regrouting a whole bathroom, you know, and it consists of a couple tubs and a whole shot. Like three showers, you know, like old dormitory style stuff, you know. Well, I put caution tape up on everything. I'm grouting away. Well, I'm just getting done with the third shower, and I hear a shower next to me turn on. And the last thing you want is water washing all that extra grout down the drain.
Sure.
Well, I peek around the corner, and sure enough, there's a 90-year-old vet standing there in front of me.
Naked.
You know. Oh, butt naked, taking his shower, getting busy with it, you know. And the visual part is what got me, because you know why they call it a grandfather clock, right?
Why?
Well, he was ding-donging, ding-donging. And it wasn't his ding-dong, right? I guess I can't say no. Other regions on the radio, so... Yeah.
So you had...
Epic visual. Yeah.
I'm trying to visualize this.
I'm trying not to.
Are you tracking with this? With
I am tracking, and then I'm forcing my brain to stop tracking right. with it.
Can you cut the mic for 2 seconds here? I'm really confused.
Oh, that makes sense?
All right, I get it.
Now you got it. Yeah.
All right, sorry. This is like, you know, he's a dinging and a donging and a right. grandfather clock, and I'm like, what the hell's going on in there?
This is why you don't want the visual.
Like, did a bird pop out of his belly? I'm like, cuckoo, cuckoo.
It wasn't a bird.
What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
I heard a comment for us that says, I got in trouble for listening to you guys because according to my boss, you guys are, quote, gross and vile. You guys were talking about diarrhea.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's something that no one's experienced
yes,
before.
Yes, that's never happened to any and every human being.
I hope
my God, how could you talk about something that happens to everybody? That's ridiculous.
I hope your boss gets neuro over the holidays.
Yeah.
Tell him we sent it for you.
Yeah.
What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
What's up, gentlemen? My story isn't anything, you know, where I got anything cool, but, you know, I'm a bus driver, so did that public service thing. One day I'm cruising through Seattle on 4th Avenue, pulling up to my stop, open the doors and everything, and I look over and I see this guy trying to climb over this wall. And I know on the other side of the wall is a big drop down to a set of railroad tracks. So, you know, it would be a likely fatal if, you know, he jumped over. So I opened my little side window and said, hey, man, he was one of my regular passengers, too. I said, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm going to kill myself. And at that instant, I can't even remember what I did. I know I pulled the brake and jumped out, and I literally pulled him back over the wall as he started going over and wrestled him to the ground. And we wrestled and wrestled for about 5 minutes. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't even think about consequences of getting hurt or getting in trouble at work or anything like that.
Sure.
I just was concerned for his safety. And people were actually driving by, you know, because now traffic's starting to back up a little bit and people are screaming, let him jump, let him jump. So it's getting him more worked up and he's screaming, let me go, let me die. And I literally whispered in his ear, I said, man, I'm not going to let you die, dude. He goes, well, nobody loves me. And I said, well, I love you. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. And I started.
Well, you can't say I don't.
And then, yeah. And then you kissed his ear.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Well, then I start hearing this tick sound, tick, 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 tick. And I'm like, oh, man, he's got a bomb or something on him. Well, I looked over and he's got tears just rolling down his cheeks. And it was tapping onto my jacket. And he made another run for it. Well, finally the police got there. I swear we wrestled for 5 minutes. It felt like an hour. And they get there, and the officer comes up and grabs him by the back of his jacket. He goes, you can let him go now. And I said, okay. And as soon as I let go, the guy broke free and ran for that wall. And again, we both literally jumped on this guy, pulled him back over again. And I got to tell you, it was surreal.
Yeah.
And it just, I've never felt that kind of... a joy from it, you know? It just felt great.
Let me ask you, did you see the guy get on the bus again, hopefully?
That's where it gets better. They took him off. They took him to get him some help, and I'm glad they did. About 2 months later, I'm driving my route, and as I get on the bus, I hear this guy talking in the back, familiar voice, and I turn and I look right at him, and it was just a massive embrace, man. We just ran at each other like in the movies, and he promised me he would never do it again.
Okay, good. Nice.
I got a life-saving award for it, and it just felt great.
That's awesome.
You know, and it's a good time. It's a good time to remind everyone, you know, if you know someone or you got a feeling that, you know, you want to harm yourself, just there's people out here that will, you know, sacrifice it all to do what they can to save you.
You are
loved.
That is a good thing.
That's amazing.
That's a good thing you did.
Nice job.
I cannot believe people let him jump. Those people.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We head to Utah. 28-year-old man arrested last month after face-punching a couple of McDonald's employees for getting his order wrong. Victor Castro allegedly ordered food from the McDonald's and in a court document stated that he left with his food but later returned to the fast food restaurant and then walked behind the front registers into the employee area where customers are not allowed. Castro then proceeded to assault an employee at the register with his fist, hitting the employee in the face. He then walked further back into the business into the kitchen area and assaulted another employee by punching him, also hitting the employee in the face. He was additionally heard saying, "You got my order wrong." The incident was captured on surveillance cameras. He was arrested and booked into jail for third-degree felony burglary and two misdemeanor counts of assault.
Again, what are your expectations when you go to a fast food place?
Right? More than likely, the food's not going to be right.
I mean, even if it's not, I just don't. People seem to get really, really, really. Like, if you go to a restaurant and they have a $90 steak, even if it's cooked wrong, like, to me, if you're going to be violent about something, you're $90 in the hole, right?
Right.
But that's not how people respond. McDonald's, you spend $5, you got a cheeseburger, maybe they left pickles on it, whatever your deal is, and you assault people. Or you're, the ice cream machine doesn't work, and they break that up. They ran out of chicken sandwiches, you attack. I don't understand.
Look, I get all
everybody's
place.
A foodie.
I go to a place, man, and 50% of the time, I know they're going to screw the order up.
All right? Is it the place you went to today?
It's the place I went to today. And I know for a fact that every time I go, they're going to mess my order up. So today, I went in and ordered some stuff. And of course, they completely screwed the order up. But I know they're going to do it. And I'm like, I go back because I love the place.
But you never get what you want.
No,
I came in
don't.
This morning, and your first words like, man, I wanted a beef burrito. They gave me a bean burrito, and I don't know until I bit into it, and it's mushy.
And then, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, that is a fast-acting bean burrito.
Right.
I realized right away, I was like, oh, man, that is coming through like a freight train. What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA. And I hate bean burritos.
Why?
But you ate the whole thing.
If I heated it up in a microwave at home, and it was just one of those bean burritos, like the El Paso sauce, that's fine. But this bean burrito had, like, lettuce and tomatoes in it, and it just, I don't know, it's just a mushy...
It's just a pile of mush with vegetables in it.
Bean burrito.
Wrapped in a tortilla.
All I wanted
Did you get anything else with meat?
No, that's the only thing I got. I got
you're having a meatless day. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You love the earth.
What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
There's helping you out, Miles.
And you can't unwrap it and look inside a burrito to make sure it's
right.
No.
Hello, Colton. Welcome to the men's room.
Big boobs and bigger beers, bitches.
Hola.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. Thank you, man.
So, long story short, I'm working at Sears today. I've been working there since about August now. Went through my mentorship, did pretty damn good. I'm fixing appliances, running van, going into people's houses, fixing stuff. Anyway, so it's about my second week after my mentoring, just got my van, got all my tools, got everything set up, all right? Then I'm driving down the street over on Pacific in Olympia, and all of a sudden this lady, she's waving her hand, she's running across the street with this guy. Have no idea why she's tapping on my window. She comes over here, taps on my window. I think she needs help or something, so I roll down my window. She puts her hands in the damn window and tries to grab me, and at that point, I'm like, no. Roll the window back up, give her the finger, take my life.
When you say she grabbed you like around the neck, or what is she trying to do? Just attack you?
No, she was trying to just grab me. She was like waving her hand. She had her tongue out. I have no idea what she was on, but whatever she had, I wanted it because she was on a completely different planet, dude.
What about the guy she was with?
The guy, he didn't even bat an eyelash. I mean, he just ran past my van like I wasn't even there.
Okay.
So she's waving her hands, her tongue is hanging out of her mouth, and you still thought to yourself, I should roll down the window and talk to this person.
Oh, no. Her mouth was closed by the time, but then by the time I had rolled down my window, her mouth was full of gape, full of tongue. It looked like she had a little foam around the edges, okay?
Oh, right. Should have kissed her.
And then all of a sudden, I see some weird, jaggedy fingers come through, like real gaunt, almost like if her face, or like if her hands were on meth, but that doesn't make any sense.
Just her hands
were
on meth.
Her hands were on meth.
Yeah, the rest of her's clean. Just her hands are on methamphetamine.
That sounds like every day in my neighborhood. What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
We have a comment here. It's not so much hands, but an arm. It says, I'm a UPS driver. One time I had a seasonal helper with one arm. He had the word nub tattooed on the missing member. Best helper I ever had. Worked hard. Didn't have to draw him a map to the door.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Couldn't carry big packages, but other than that, he was efficient.
Do they usually have to draw maps to the door?
I think he's just pointing out how stupid a lot of these seasonal workers might be that you get stuck with. Just saying, like, yeah, go to the door. The thing with the knob. Hello, Frank. Welcome to the men's room.
Yeah, gracias. Hola.
Hola.
So back in the 80s, I managed a skating rink, and we had a session on Sundays that was called Cheapskate. And it was from 6 to 9 every Sunday, and Cheapskate was a dollar admission. And we would pack that place. Capacity is about 1,000 people, and so we would literally pack that place. A lot of it was the Asian community at that time. There was a lot of people from Vietnam and Cambodia immigrating after the Vietnam War and all that. Somehow the word got out, so we had a huge Asian admission. So there's probably about 700 people out there on the skating rink floor doing their thing. And next thing I know, this brawl breaks out between about 200 people. And it kind of looked like a Bruce Lee Enter the Dragon movie. These guys are out there kicking and chopping and everything, so had to basically turn off the music, turn on the lights, said, okay, we're done, everybody, check in your skates, session's over. Well, it drug out in the parking lot after that, so okay, well, about time to call the cops. Cop shows up, First Pierce County unit shows up, and he looks at that mess and he goes, holy crap, next thing I know, we've got State Patrol, we've got Tacoma Police Department. There's probably about 25 units out there trying to figure out what they're going to do with 200 people out there, which had now come from the skating rink and are out there doing their kung fu in the parking lot. So they finally bust everybody out and clear them out. But I tell you, for working at a skating rink, that was a pretty epic situation.
I would think if you work anywhere, mm-hmm. 200 people that know martial arts are fight, like, right. I can't help you to break this fight.
People fighting is amazing.
Yeah, period,
one right. Night we were in our apartment, and there was a club at the time that had just let out. It was probably 1:30 in the morning or something like that. We, of course, are up. We got off work at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we were having a few beers, doing our thing, and a fight breaks out as people are leaving this club.
And this almost happens, well, probably every weekend there's a fight. This one was just particularly epic.
The guys were in the street, and both of them knew martial arts. So, like, one guy's warming up with spin kicks on one side. Right. You got a girlfriend in between screaming, like, don't fight him, Billy!
Right.
Or whatever the hell, you know what I mean?
No, if I remember correctly, she was the terrible girlfriend. Like, he gonna F you up.
Yeah.
It was like egging it on. Right?
Well, it got to the point where, like, look, both of these guys could probably kick anyone else's ass, but now they realize
they're gonna have to fight each other.
They gotta fight each other, and they both walk in with an equal skill set, right? But the odds of you bumping into someone that knows what you know are real slim, but here they are. So we could tell that they're trying to diffuse the situation a little bit. Neither one of them wants to come to blows now, because it's like, right, it's two Bruce Lees are about to fight. This is a problem. But the one girl would not shut up.
Now, you could hear her.
Kept making it worse, man. And it's like, you're going to get your boyfriend killed, but I just could not help but watch this thing.
We were hanging out the window, just watching, like eating popcorn.
We turned off all the lights.
Yeah, so they wouldn't see us watching. Yeah.
Seriously. It was all, I mean, it literally was like a movie, like how you expect a bad fight to go. He's gonna F you up.
It's like a street brawl.
I will say, when I was working at the AFL-CIO as a janitor,
yeah,
and I'll leave, you know, so that's the American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organization. It's all the labor unions. I won't say which one, but a driver for, let's just say, an Irishman union, literally got into a fight with somebody else. They pulled a gun in the lobby.
Of that building?
Yes. We're at 16th and I Street. And, like, you always hear rumors about, like, gangsters being involved and this and that.
Yes.
And he literally, in the lobby, pulled a gun on the other guy.
But isn't that, I mean, like, and I apologize if this is offensive, but isn't that pretty well the gangster building in D.C. as far as the government is concerned? Other than the actual government?
I mean that or the Teamsters headquarters.
Okay, right. I mean,
your answer basically confirms.
If this is going to happen someplace,
that's the building.
I would think that would be the place.
The other instance I remember was they were redoing the building, and they were putting on like these names on a wall, right, of like the different unions.
All
right. But the lady that ran the department, she hired somebody who wasn't union. So then the painters...
She hired someone who was not union to put up the name. Right. Okay.
Because she thought they could just get it done real quick. And two very large dudes from, like, the painters union just, like, walked in and, like, basically shook the guy down and were like, get off the scaffolding. Like, you can't do this job.
Jesus.
Wow.
I did work at a bar, and I've told this before. I worked at... Well, actually, it was a nice restaurant upstairs. Downstairs was a bar, and the bar itself was pretty nice. Miles, you might remember Brewer's Art.
Yeah.
And this was basically the first legit brew pub in Baltimore City. So it was kind of a big deal. And a woman.
I never liked it because I only drank like Miller Lite before. Every time we went there, it's like, what's with these weird beers?
And that's the thing, right? So that was kind of Baltimore's introduction into the microbrew world. And the brewer we had was outstanding. Almost everyone that I worked with there, I'd worked with at other restaurants. The woman who opened it, she opened up with two partners. I'd worked with her at many restaurants, so she just offered me the job straight up. I'm opening this place. If you want to be the sous chef, the job's yours. Took the job. It was a great place to work. We had some guys downstairs at the bar, and they're kind of harassing. I think Ruth was her name. And in spite of her name, no, she wasn't 600 years old. She's maybe 25. And these guys are getting really drunk. And it was these college guys, but kind of like you, Ted. Obviously, they've been drinking Miller Lite kind of stuff because they say things like, dude, I can drink 18 beers. We're like, we understand that this beer, like, this is like three times as much alcohol, man.
Yeah.
This is all we're telling. We're not calling you a weakling or anything. It's just, this beer's different. It'll mess you up. And it did. And they got really drunk. So we're trying to get them to leave. And it was two normal-sized guys and one just giant, giant human being. And he proved to be the most problematic of them all. So the bartender can't get these guys to leave, and most of the people at the bar at this time were other people in the industry. It's other people we know. Most people there are actually friends. That's what made this brawl so crazy, because by the end of this, like, friends were fighting friends, but we asked these three guys to leave. They won't leave, so they get us out of the kitchen, right? So we roll out there. Guys, man, this doesn't have to be stupid. Just leave. There's 1,000 bars down the street, whatever. So they agree to leave, but as we're leaving, one of our employees is kind of pushing them in the back to get them out the door. The big dude turns around, and I always remember this, because probably eight of us behind him, there's eight of us, we are full-grown adults. He turns around and says, stop pushing me, and pushes this guy back. When he pushes this one guy, like, all eight of us went backwards, okay? And I just remember in my head, it's like, oh, no, right? I mean, this guy has stupid strength. That's when things start to go down, and, I mean, a fight breaks out, okay? So everyone in the bar is probably 50, 60 people, maybe. Like, it happened. Like, just drop of a pen, everyone is in a fight. Now, I worked there, so I'm trying to defuse this as best I can, but at this point, you're not going to defuse it. You're just trying to pull people away from each other. You're calling out your buddies by name, like, John, just sit down, man. Like, what the hell's going on? So I see the big guy ends up punching my boss, the chick. I mean, just knocks him down. Keep in mind, everyone he has hit is dropping to the ground. And yes, I'm very strategically trying to avoid being in his general vicinity.
Yeah.
I don't want to get clobbered by this guy, man. He is just a beast. His new buddies get worked over in no time. And this guy is just taking all comers. But he takes down the boss, and this dude, Carlos, I work with, loses his S with that. And Carlos weighed maybe 140 pounds, right? Just the thinnest little dude. And he goes up and kind of pushes the guy. Big dude looks at him. You want to do this? What we did not know is that Carlos was also an amateur boxer, okay? So he jumped straight up just to get to eye level with this guy, pulls back his hand, hits this guy square between his eyes, and it's almost like, remember like an Empire Strikes Back, those big walking things?
As they slowly crumble down right, one knee at a time.
Yeah, it was like watching a Transformer slowly crumple back into a car, but it took forever. It's just, and you can see his knees buckle a little bit. And this dude just drops, and we're all looking at Carlos like, what in the hell? And that's what he points out. Oh, man, I'm an amateur boxer. I'm like, well, obviously. But now we got to drag his big ass out of the building and up a set of stairs to get him level with the street. So it's like a basement bar. Drag his ass out there. He kind of comes to. He wants to keep squaring up again. And I'm like, man, this is not going to end. So Carlos goes, hang on. I'm going to go get my gun. And I looked at him. I said, wait a minute. We just had 50 people fighting, and now you tell me that you have a gun in your bag. We could have solved this. All you got to do is pull it out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's done. Just fire one up the ceiling, whatever the hell you're going to do.
Now they're going right through the bar.
And you probably would have shot someone upstairs. I understand.
Waiting
that.
For a table.
But the cops finally showed them. They took that guy away, man. And I just, for like the next month, we're all like, if that dude comes back in, he's going to kill us.
Yeah.
If that big mofo, I've never seen a man that big drop the way he dropped from a man so skinny. But it was just one of the most incredible workplace experiences I've ever had. Like, this is like I'm watching a 70s movie with Burt Reynolds, man. This is a full-on, and no one knows what they're angry about. It was three dudes. That's it. It's just these three guys, and somehow everyone turned on each other and got into a fight.
What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Patrick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great. Thank you.
That's good to hear. So, I've worked at a lot of places, so I kind of had to delve deep for this one. But currently, I'm working at Walmart.
All right.
And you hear a lot of crazy stories about Walmart.
Yes, you do.
Right? So, basically, I was working an overnight shift, and I'm maintenance lead. So, you see a lot of stuff, right? You know, dirty bathrooms, needles, all kinds of stuff. But I also asset protection, so kind of monitoring who's coming in and out of the store, right? So we're watching this one guy, and they're suspecting him that he's going to shoplift or something, right? He goes in the houseware, he gets some towels, he goes over to hardware, and he gets a bucket. And this, I want to say he's probably like 47-year-old man. I don't know what he was on, probably a meth, but he just takes a bucket that's in the middle of the aisle. Drops his drawers and proceeds to use the bathroom in the middle of my store.
With a 5-gallon bucket and brand new towels.
Yep, wiped his behind with the towel, dropped it on the floor. And so I'm called over to the situation because I'm like all the way across the store. And I mean, it's just this ungodly. I mean, I can't even fathom how this could come out of a person. Dookie sitting in the middle of my aisle. And I just look at my manager, and I go on my radio, and I call to my other maintenance guy, and I'm like, hey, I got a problem over here. Can you come clean this up? Like, I am not touching that. Like, but it was funny.
It was still funny.
Yeah. I mean,
so what happened to the guy? Did he just walk out after using the bathroom?
We lost him.
Oh, okay.
But it was funny, you know.
It's funny.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
Thursday, a 27-year-old guy named Jason Savage. He is from Middlesex County, New Jersey, and he works at a HR company called TriNet. And earlier this year, he found a hidden camera on a urinal in the bathroom. Well, its boss is a guy named David Swerdloff, and he heard Jason talking about it. So David ran into the bathroom, grabbed the device, and headed straight to his car so he could take the camera to the authorities. A few minutes later, David called his employees to tell them he, quote, accidentally smashed the camera, and quote, in a state of panic, he threw it off an overpass.
Yeah.
David was fired after an HR investigation, and since then, Jason says the company has been trying to dig up dirt on him to punish him, too, so he just sued the company. He wants a jury to decide on the damages. There's no word on whether David could face any charges for the camera. Our question, what is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Tanner. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, well, my crazy work story is I was working in a video production company a few years ago, and we were sent down to the Baja 500 trophy truck race in Mexico. And I had just finished my assignment for the day, and I was starting to watch the race a little bit, and I decided to get some extra footage, and a truck nearly hit me, and it struck an 8-year-old kid who was standing about 10, 15 feet away from me, and kid was killed.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Well, I was just going to say, man, you watch video footage of that race, and obviously in populated areas where that race goes through, there's a lot of spectators, and the spectators are seemingly right on the side of the roadway. And
I've seen a game to them.
I've seen videos of those cars even flipping over top of the crowd.
Yeah, landing in the middle of the crowd.
Or you know, missing them or hitting them or whatever the deal is, man. When those cars get out of control, they're just kind of flipping and going. So I'm not surprised that happened. That's sad. That's terrible. But, man, oh, man, there's no fences up. It's literally right. It's just a road, and they're racing down this thing, and it's a long route.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it is, deaths have happened in this race all the time, but never up close, like, towards where the race starts, which is where I was at. It always happens out in some, like, remote area. You'll hear about some, like, I don't know, some farmer walking his goat that gets hit. Or something like that.
It's the farmer walking his goat. It's always the farmer walking his goat. So
you never hear about it close to the start, and everybody saw it. Like, they had to shut the race down for like 3 hours. Like, that's never happened before.
Did this kid die on impact?
I don't think so. So I almost got hit. I was recording at the time too, so I was freaking out. And when I came to, I saw the dad run over and to pull his kid out from under the car, and I hit stop recording.
Yeah.
But I saw the kid, and he looked bloody, and so I was like, oh, my God. I just started running away just frantically. Everybody was kind of running towards the truck, and I was just like, get me the heck out of here. I luckily had, like, in a panic state, bumped into my boss, who kind of corralled me, set me down. He's like, just sit here for a while. I'll go check it out. And the rest of the day, I was just, like, in shock.
Yeah, I bet you were. I mean, think about it. The professional cameraman cuts a camera off. If you're an amateur cameraman, you leave the thing rolling.
Bang. Everyone breaks out their cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
No tragedy too great for us to put it on our cell phone.
What is your epic story about work? 844-999-OLA.
Well, I feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Lord, man.
Wow.
Hello, Captain Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
We'll make this short and sweet for you guys. I was running a charter boat off the coast of Oregon a few years ago, and when we go for tuna, it's a 12-hour day. It takes 4 hours to get to the grounds. You have 4 hours to dress. It takes 4 hours to dock. And a lot of the time, we try to tide the times correctly, but when we get to the Columbia River Bar, the Point Disappointment, Cape Disappointment, they won't let us over. Boat's only 50 feet. We got to wait a little bit. So 18 feet people on board, and this woman, she wanted to get in the water. She wanted to swim ashore. In her mind, after that whole day offshore, it was a better idea that she had had enough. So we kind of, me and my deckhand, kind of corralled her down in the dally and kind of wrestled her and tied her to the table.
You tied her to the table?
We had to. You know, these
when you're offshore all day, people do crazy things that they would never do on shore. You know, we would make a joke of it in the morning. You'd see people walking down, you'd be like, that guy right there, we're going to have an issue with that guy.
you can tell right away.
Yeah, the flip-flops and the, you know, the white beaters, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, once we got in the river, we had to stay offshore for about an hour and a half till the tide slowed down. We went over and kind of went down and chatted with her, and she was okay. But, yeah, got pretty scared there for a few minutes.
Wow. Never heard of having to actually, like, tie someone to a table to prevent them from
jumping in the water. Do you remember, did they catch any tuna that day?
Oh, yeah. We always would plug the boat, but it's... Yeah, you know, your idea of what it's going to be like in the reality are two different things. And smart people on shore, you get them on a boat offshore 40 miles, and they're like children. They really are.
I got to ask, what does it cost to go out on a whole day like that for 12 hours?
You might as well spend a little bit more money and do the overnighter, because we're glorified truck drivers. We have to be back in
right,
12
exactly.
hours.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. What is your epic story about work? 844-999-HOLA. More of your calls coming up in seconds.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.